Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The word matparaha. The word matparama refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in a supreme abode to be the highest perfection. Okay, then on 42, at the bottom notes one. Oh no, we're on the next paragraph. Okay. As indicated by the word madbhakta, he fully engages in devotional service, specifically in the nine processes of devotional engagement. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers, carrying out the orders of the Lord, making friends with him, and surrendering everything to him. We're here. Oh, okay. One can engage in all nine devotional processes. Or eight, or seven, or at least in one. And that will surely make one perfect. Note one. Abhideya refers to the ninefold process of devotional service. According to Mahajana Prahlad Maharaj, one who engages in these processes is already established in transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 7540-2425. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 items of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord's once best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Right? You know, so here, and the complete knowledge means about Krishna as the person, because you're serving the person. Right? So when we say complete, we're not talking about volume. Complete, we're talking about the quality of it. Because it's come to the complete personality of Godhead. So he's unlimited. He can never actually be fully known. But you are able to appreciate him and therefore worship him. So that's complete knowledge. Otherwise, partial knowledge is, you know, or, you know, good amount. It's, it understands Brahman and Paramatma. Right? And if you don't understand that, then that's actually called avidya. It's not actually knowledge. Right? Even though one may have a lot of volume of facts and figures and other things like that, one has to know that the personality is actually the standard, right? Mm. Connection to spirit is the standard, right? If it's not connected to spirit, even though it's very great, even though it's very scholarly and done in a very scholarly way, it's not actually considered knowledge. It's avidya, because it takes you away from the Lord. His knowledge should take you towards the Lord. So if it takes you away, it's ignorance. Right? Even though it may be very, very scholarly ignorance. Right? Does that make sense? So the difficulty comes then is that is our definition of knowledge, we think it's just volume of facts and figures, right? Like that. But it's not. It's a matter of how much one understands wisdom. And so that wisdom is in its perfection when one reaches the Lord. Yes.
So partial knowledge also means
obedience? Partial? No. It means anything connected to the Lord. So real knowledge starts with understanding of Brahman. Right? So we're Brahman, the Lord is Brahman, everything's Brahman. That aspect is the beginning of actual knowledge. Because before that, one may have, you know, lots of knowledge about the material phenomena, but it's not actually considered real knowledge, because for the soul, who's sat-chit, whose chit means knowledge, it's not actually knowledge that has any benefit for the soul. Does that make sense? So, that benefit for the soul is only gained when they're established in their natural constitutional position. So that's knowledge. Everything else is just some skills. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just the person studies something in depth, so he knows all little nuances about it and everything like this, right? You know, he studied the bird, you know, the cockatoos or whatever it is, these parrots and all that very nicely. And so, you know, he sits there and makes noises and wiggles his arms and that and thinks he's communicating with the bird. The bird thinks, well, who's this freak, right? Whatever it is. But he's done all this stuff for a long time, right? So he has lots of knowledge about of observation. It just means having observed something and gotten a lot of information, a lot of facts based from that, or created opinions, you know, on how you think those facts are, or to fill in the gaps. But that, what does that actually do for the soul? You know what I'm saying? You may be able to take that knowledge, turn it into something for the body, like your technology, and that they can turn it into your mechanics, technology, your, all these different kind of practical things. You can do something with it, but it still is doing nothing for the soul. Right? So all it does is get you facility to maintain your body. But it doesn't do anything for the soul. So since all it does is maintain ignorance, therefore it's ignorance. Does that make sense? You know? If I, let us say, I bring out one of those big spoons, like that. What do you think of? Cooking. Okay. But is the spoon cooking? No. So that's the same thing, is that all this knowledge is in connection with ignorance, so it's not actually knowledge. You know what I'm saying? You connect it with what it does. So the practical point of non-Vedic knowledge is that it only connects you to ignorance. You know, it may be a more sophisticated, more pleasant environment of ignorance. You know what I'm saying? But that's all it's doing. So that's why it's avidya. It's not actually knowledge. Now the Vedic knowledge is called aparavidya because it is material knowledge, but it's been presented in such a way that it connects to the original, to the transcendental. So one can very easily see it. Like from the modern, it may be very hard to connect that. Right? Because if one doesn't know there's the soul, you think you're the body, you think life has come from the body, consciousness comes from dead matter, from the body, then how much you can connect to the Lord? Right? Because it doesn't, that's total ignorance, that those facts. You know what I'm saying? So it's a fact the body is there, but that you think that the body is the soul, that's ignorance. Does that make sense? So, but the Vedic means you're understanding what is the Shastra, what are all the different aspects of it. So then there's not a problem in, if you have proper association, that you can connect it to the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's why it's called aparavidya. Material, but apara. So only the Vedanta, that is actual transcendental knowledge. Because even the other forms of vimamsa technically are still material knowledge. They may be a higher category. Mimamsa will be your highest category of the 14 books. Because mimamsa will be how you'll interpret things, right? Your hermeneutics. So everything that you see within the Veda, you'll interpret through that philosophy. Right? So it holds all the 14 books together. But if unless it's Vedanta, it's not actually transcendental. Yeah, if that makes sense. So Vedanta, Pancharatra, these are transcendental. All the other books and all the other philosophies are actually material. But they can be connected to the Supreme. You're just like Nyaya as a philosophy, it's material. But using Nyaya to establish Krishna conscious philosophy, then it's useful. It becomes Alparavidya. Right? It becomes useful. It's useless as a philosophy, it's useful as a tool. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the point.
Shruti and Smriti,
can we offer Paravidya? Shruti and Smriti, except for philosophy, is all Aparavidya. So you smriti means your 14 books, the Veda, the four Vedas are four of the books. Right, so that's the first category, is the four books of the Veda. Right, so everything's based on that. Then you have the six Vedangas, which are those things which reveal the Veda. Right? You require them to understand the Veda. So four of them are language. So you have the how you pronounce the Vedas. Right, then you have the grammar of the Vedas. You have the vocabulary of the Vedas, and you have the poetry. Right? Then you're going to have to. Then with that, you're going to perform sacrifice, yajna. So that's the fifth. Then you need proper times for doing that. Then that's astronomy. Right? So that's six. So that's six in the Vedas. That's ten. So then the third category is the upangas, which is your philosophy, your purana, your Dharma Shastra, and your logic. That makes sense? Because it's through those that culturally you can apply it. You have the actual understanding and the application. So you have the Veda and it's the tools to approach it. But then you have the philosophy by which you're going to approach it and the practical application of applying. Does that make sense? So that's 10. So only the philosophy is transcendental. Right? Everything else is material. That makes sense. So Bhagavatam is unique in that it's a Purana, but it's transcendental. Right? Because the others, though they're talking transcendental aspects, depending upon your interpretation, then you might take it as transcendentally or not. Right? Because if it's connected to the Lord, it becomes transcendental. But you can also just take it as histories and not connect them. The Bhagavatam is written in a way that it's just the practical application of the philosophy through culture. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there, you know, the devotee shouldn't say that Bhagavatam's just theory or just philosophy. They could maybe say that about Vedanta Sutra, but not about Bhagavatam. It's presented as Purana, so it's practical. Okay, 2. According to 4:35, when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he sees that all living beings are within Krishna and are his. Naturally, therefore, in his abhideya activities, he is eager to engage other living entities in Krishna's service. Naturally, therefore, in his abhideya activities, he is eager to engage other living entities in Krishna's service. Indeed, this is the duty and the test of his advancement in real Krishna consciousness. Right, so he's situated in transcendental knowledge, so he sees everybody, you know, as part and parcel of Krishna, belonging to Krishna. Therefore, he is engaging in devotional service. He tries to get others to engage. Okay. Quotation from Srila Prabhupada. So what is his duty? Janma Sartaka Kari. First of all, awaken your own Krishna consciousness. You understand Krishna, then you go out. Kara para upakar, because people are in darkness. People are in darkness. They have forgotten Krishna. Oh, sir? Can you give him the shoes? This is the Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness meant. Not that I have understood Krishna, now pack it up in the box and see sometimes. Oh, I have become Krishna conscious. My Guru Maharaj condemned this. He said, Man tumi kishare Vaishnav. But my dear mind, you are thinking that you have become a very good Vaishnav and chanting Hare Krishna, imitating Haridas Thakur and smoking bidi. This imitation has no value. My Guru Maharaj condemned it. He said, Man tumi kishare Vaishnav. What a rascal you are. You are thinking that you are Vaishnav. Nir janera gare. What is that? I forget now. Tavahari nama kevala kaitava parishtara tare. Nir janera gare tavahari nama kevala kaitava. My dear mind, you are very much proud of becoming Vaishnava. In a solitary place, you are imitating Haridas Thakur. Nir janera gare pratishtare tare. Patishtara tare. Your this solitary chanting of Hare Krishna means that you want cheap popularity. Oh, he is chanting Hare Krishna. That is not possible. You cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. So by imitating Haridas Thakur, keeping connection with women and doing all nonsense, you cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. You must work. You must go out for chanting, for preaching. This is the real chanting. Jare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. This is wanted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has never said that you may imitate Haridas Thakur in a solitary place. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, bidi bidi bidi. Not like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go out, jare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amar agyaya guru hoy taro e desh. So our request is, you all foreigners, so you have learned something about Krishna consciousness. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Although he expected that every Indian should go out for para upakar. But anyway, some of the Indians, at least one, but you take this mission and go everywhere. In every corner, I am thankful to you. You are already doing that in Europe and America, deep asleep. Because people are sleeping under misguidance, and they are becoming candidate for being carried away by the Yamadutas. This is the position of the whole world. Yamaduta. Palaye bharakata naya jo mache piche. Yamaduta will not excuse you. However, you may be very proud of becoming independent. This is not possible. To save the human civilization, the rascal civilization, that there is no life after death, and you go on and enjoy as much as you like. This wrong civilization is killing civilization. So you save them. You save them. Otherwise, the Yamaduta is there. Okay, so then one understands oneself, one gives it to others. One does it because he understands and sit down in his own place. Right? Because if you sit down in your own place, Haridas Thakur is absorbed in the name. We're absorbed in the point that I'm sitting down in a lonely place and chanting the holy name. He's not worried that it's lonely. He could chant in the marketplace, but just maybe a bit distracting. Therefore, he sits in a lonely place. He's not sitting in a lonely place because of prestige. But we'll do that out of prestige, so that's the point. Right? Does that make sense? Do you catch the principle here? You know, like that. So you're saying, bidi, bidi, bidi. What does that mean?
You're meditating on getting that bidi afterwards.
Yeah, but the thing is what if you say, well, I don't smoke bidis?
Something else.
Yeah, the point is it means engagement in sense gratification, whatever it may be. Right? You know, and then when it says women, what does that mean?
Adoration.
Yeah, adoration, distinction, profit, you know, it's your place, it's your lonely place, it's your Nirjan Bhajan place. You know, the whole thing, making home, making all these different things, making arrangements, facilities, you know, that's the point. Does that make sense? So that's why it's important to catch principles, because other somebody, I'm not involved with women, I'm not smoking bidis, so this doesn't apply to me. No, the principle is that trying to make yourself comfortable and trying to enjoy that comfortableness. That's the point. Though saying that one is engaged in transcendental activities. Right? So you don't imitate. The point is yes, be engaged in transcendental activities, but be active. Right? Be active. Because we see Haridasa Thakur is just sitting there chanting. And, you know, he's able to make so many people into devotees, right? He made Maya Devi herself into a devotee, right? So then, you know, not bad, right? So this is the point, is that so one is situated in knowledge, he sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna, so therefore he tries to also connect them to Krishna. That is friendship. The term Sangavarjita is very significant. One should disassociate himself from persons who are against Krishna. Not only are the atheistic persons against Krishna, but also are those who are attracted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. Okay, so atheistic persons. Are against Krishna, but also those attracted to fruitive activities and mental speculation, right? Maybe not as obviously, or maybe not as strongly, but they are interested in enjoying themselves. That has no connection with God, right? They don't mind being a little pious here and there, because that, you know, it'll save your soul. But it's only just because you don't want to spend time in hell, right? You know, because you haven't heard that they're having a great time, and you know, there's a big barbecue, and you know, it's all going on. You know, it's not comfortable. So they don't want that. They don't want to be comfortable. So they don't mind turning to God to not be uncomfortable, right? But it's not that God is included in the process. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, those who are attracted, they're also that kind of association to give up. So atheists definitely, but the other ones also are not attracted to Krishna, so they will distract one from actually thinking of Krishna, being absorbed in Krishna. Yes.
So we need to look for association for at least person who want to become a devotee.
Yes. In other words, yes, you're looking for association, which is trying to be, you know, wants to be a pure devotee, but also has a similar kind of nature, or nature that you can relate to, compatible nature, right? Because compatible doesn't necessarily always mean the same, it just means compatible, that the two go together, you know? So, because then their endeavors will be something that you can apply in your life. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if you can't relate to what they do, how will you be inspired? You know what I'm saying? If the more advanced, one will appreciate that the living entity, whoever they are, is trying to connect themselves to Krishna. And so whatever that attempt is, one can be inspired. Right? But the point is you, one generally associates with those who have the same, how you say, approach. Does that make sense? You know, it means it's a detail. The general principle, everybody is following the spiritual master, following Prabhupada's teachings, following, you know, chanting and everything like this, preaching. But it just means where, like somebody who's preaching, let's say, to new people, then, and you can relate to that, then you'll associate with them. right? You know, someone who's preaching in the prisons or something. You know, whatever it is, they have something unique, or they like kirtan, or they like japa, or they like studying, or whatever is the aspect of Krishna consciousness you're inspired by, right? So that way one may have a very wide range of associates or not. It doesn't matter. The main point is you're inspired by your association. It makes you want to progress in Krishna consciousness. That's the idea. So those who are not like that, you avoid. Right? It means if they're devotees, one's always nice and associates like that. But one may not spend so much time. One will spend more time with those who you are inspired to be involved in Krishna consciousness. But those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, except for preaching, you don't spend time with them. Therefore, Sri Krishna says, Sarvadharmam Parityaja, give up fruit of activities and mental speculation and just surrender to and associate with me. Note 2. In Bhagavad Gita 18:69, Sri Krishna says that no one can be more dear to him than the preacher. Therefore, the preacher always has his association. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the same promise to the Korma Brahmana. If one has the constant association of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, one is protected from all kinds of contaminated association. Quotation from C.C. Adi Lila 727 purport. Thus, the more the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, the more desire for material enjoyment decreases. The seed of material enjoyment automatically becomes impotent with the increase of the Krishna consciousness movement. Right? That doesn't mean the facilities decrease. It just means that the desire to enjoy them separately then in connection with the Lord, that decreases. Yes?
Bhavananda wants to understand if the Hare Krishna movement was asked to take over the world, what would be their first policy? And the first thing would be to just stop everything for 2 years, just so that passion could die down.
He's the main point is so many things have to go on, but when you say stop, means what do you stop? Because if there's no governance and there's no law and order, people aren't making money, how do they have facility? So the main thing is make people aware of who they are and all that, and then, you know, bring that out. Start, you know, Hari Nam, start Prashad, you know, Prashad, all these two kind of things. Those would be the main. Because if they add that to their life, then it'll work nicely. Because the other thing is that, you know, you'll manage. So when he's saying stop everything, as an administrator, he won't be meaning stop administration. It means, you know, people going out to their parties and clubs and this and that, and all this variety of mundane entertainment. He'll mean stop all that, because then they can just start to focus on Krishna consciousness. But the thing is to increase the taste. If you increase the taste, then it will go. So material enjoyment automatically. So he's saying automatically. So if you increase Krishna consciousness, automatically these other things go down. Then it's a matter of finding. The remaining sections of the purport to 1155 affirm points made before. The pure devotee does not even want salvation. He does not want to be transferred even to the highest planet, Goloka Vrindavan. His only objective is to serve Krishna wherever he may be. So he's trying to become Krishna conscious, serve Krishna. That's his motive. Where he's serving, that's not what's important. That he is serving, that's what's important. So if the opportunity is there to serve in Goloka, great. You know? But the point is we're here now, so we're worried about serving Krishna now, not worried about, well, when we get there, then we'll serve. Right? No, it's a matter of, we're here now, we serve now. Is that something? A devotee situated in Krishna consciousness knows that only devotional service to Krishna can relieve a person from all the problems of life. Right. He has personal experience of this, and therefore he wants to introduce the system, Krishna consciousness, into human society. Right. So, all problems that are there are due to ignorance. Because we think we're the body, we're the mind, we're the words. So therefore, we're trying to use those to make ourselves happy. Right? We don't understand that, yes, to engage these three to make ourselves happy, it's not the real problem, is we don't know what engagement is and what real happiness is. So when we understand that engagement means connecting that to the Lord, then we'll be happy. Right? Just like watering the root of the tree. Then it works. So any problem goes back to the same point, lack of Krishna consciousness. There's nothing that's not in that category.
This first sentence that Krishna consciousness, devotion service, can relieve the person from all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say it's the basis of faith?
Basis of faith. Yeah.
What is the knowledge required?
It means this knowledge required. It means that actually there'd be faith. So you think that by taking Krishna consciousness, my life will improve. So it's a faith. But that to have it, that all problems will have to see where it is. But there's in the original Gita study guide, then in the back in the appendices, that was one of the things we were going to go was look into as appendices. Then Prabhupada goes through all the different major problems of the world and shows how Krishna consciousness will solve it. Like that. So that was, I think it was one of his lectures at one, I'm not sure where it was, but Prabhupada made notes of it in the car, like that, while they were going to the program. That's what I heard. So one has faith that it will solve all problems. Otherwise, you think it will solve some problems, but not others. But no, it's all for Krishna conscious. What is the problem? Right? There's no lack. The only problem is lacking Krishna consciousness. Right? Because otherwise, people have intelligence to prosper in the material world, right? To deal with it, the skills. But because they don't know how to do those things in connection with the Lord, it eventually fails. And so the pious activities, eventually they give up because sense enjoyment seems to be the major point. So if it comes down to between proper behavior and sense gratification, then ultimately at some point sense gratification will be taken. So then one will do improper activity. Right? So it doesn't. That method doesn't work. It doesn't last. So yeah. So one has to have faith that all problems come from lack of Krishna consciousness. Any anxiety is we're not being Krishna conscious. There are many examples in history of devotees of the Lord who risked their lives for the spread of God consciousness. The favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. Similarly, in India, there are many examples. So Prabhupada's going, I think, superficially is not killed because he is a great personality. Then, you know, even if they did remove the soul from the body, then, you know, he'd go somewhere else where more favorable preaching is like that. But then when devotees, I think, told Prabhupada later that according to the Essenian Bible, then he wasn't. He then left there and came to India. Then he said that made a little more sense, because otherwise why would the pure devotee, why would, you know, this happen?
He's like the great yogi. I heard that when he was on the cross, they offered him a sponge soaked in vinegar, and then he went into a trance and looked like that. So they took him down and put him in there, and then he just got off and walked off after he wiped himself.
Yeah. So. Similarly, in India also, there are many examples, such as Thakur Haridas and Prahlad Maharaj. Why such risk? Because they wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, and it is difficult. Krishna conscious person knows that if a man is suffering, it is due to his forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with Krishna. Therefore, the highest benefit one can render to human society is relieving one's neighbor from all material problems. In such a way, a pure devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord. Now we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaged in the service, risking everything for him. Therefore, it is certain that such persons must reach the supreme planet after leaving the body. Right? So they're not worried about going to Goloka, but they automatically obtain it. Right? Because you're a friend. Right? That's friendship, is that you're taking a risk for the other one's, the other person's benefit. So you're taking a risk in preaching for Krishna's benefit. Right? So therefore, one is dear to Krishna. In summary, the universal form of Krishna, which is a temporary manifestation, and the form of time which devours everything, and even the Vishnu form of Vishnu forehanded, have all been exhibited by Krishna. Thus, Krishna is the origin of all these manifestations. It is not that Krishna is a manifestation of the original Vishwarupa or Vishnu. Krishna is the origin of all forms. There are hundreds and thousands of Vishnus, but for a devotee, no form of Krishna is important but the original form, two-handed Shyamasundara. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated those who are attached to the Shyamasundara form of Krishna in love and devotion can see him always within the heart and cannot see anything else. Right? So, yeah. One should understand, therefore, that the purport of this 11th chapter is that the form of Krishna is essential and supreme. Right? So that's the essential point that's being made. So whatever one sees, one understands it's Krishna. Right? Whatever potency is there, it's Krishna. Whatever is of value is Krishna. Right? So the person, right? He expands as Vishnu. He expands as Paramatma. He expands as Brahman in the universal form. Right? So the devotee only sees Krishna, he's only interested in Krishna, right? Nothing else. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the this essence that's being made there. Mm-hmm. Anything else? We've run out of pages.
What's the next?
The next. I mean, we would continue with that. I'll look and see if I can find that. If I can find the old Gita study guide. If so, then we can go through those
pages.
Yes, those appendices, because they were supposed to be there. I forgot about it. I think because we weren't running this lengthened.
And the table of contents that has the summary that these four essences for each have a title: the essence of Vedanta, the essence of God realization, the essence of devotion and surrender, and the essence of spiritual endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To summarize all that, isn't it? There's a lot of different points that come up in that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like here, this last one, the essence of spiritual endeavor. So that means you become Krishna conscious, you make others Krishna conscious. So that's the essential point, is that you are becoming Krishna conscious, but you are making others Krishna conscious. You know, so because the only thing is that's the main point. That is there is that, you know, Krishna is the essence of everything, the person. So therefore, we're connecting ourselves to him as a servant, and therefore we're getting others. Because unless you're coming to him, the person is the ultimate. Then how do you serve? Right? Because technically, Brahman and Paramatma, you're not exactly. It's not dynamic service. You're appreciating, but it's not dynamic service. So it's only shanta. It's not actually serving. Does that make sense? You know, essence of devotion, essence of surrender. So your devotion is that body, mind, and words are engaged in the Lord's service. You know, so you're trying to... The next one, what's given is, you've done that, you've surrendered. Right? It means you're following the nine processes of devotion. And you're surrendered, you're following the six symptoms of surrender. And now, because you're doing that, then in this fifth essence, then you're giving that to others. Right? Like that. Chakra Shloki, then this Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Right? like this. So you're that's what you're establishing Vedanta also. The same points is that you're understanding these aspects of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, and then you're understanding those three of relation, of process, and result in connection with the person. So therefore, Shankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva. Mm-hmm. Right? So the universal form, all these different aspects, the manifestation of the world, how the soul is separate from the material world and is transcendental. The Lord is supremely transcendental. Right? So then we establish, but then you get to the next, is then how you're going to apply that in your life. So the one is, that's the philosophy, now you're going to apply that. Right? So that applied philosophy is, you see the field, see it in relationship to the Lord, become inspired by something you can do to please Krishna, and therefore engage in that activity. Right? So that means then you take up, you know, this the third essence of, therefore, engaging in the Lord's service. And engaging in the Lord's service, one surrenders. Right? And having surrendered, now one gives that to others. Right? So it's a very perfect flow between these verses. Seven.
Next year we'll have
Gita. Yes. Gita? No. Gita's finished. Yeah. It means that I find that book. Then we'll have. Then this after, and then on Monday we can do. Those appendices. So next year it's the two morning classes, the Jiva Dharma, and then the second class is the six systems of philosophy. So what are the six? What are, you know, how they function? Then the your upasampradayas, your world religions, all those, how they are derived from this original six. That's the second. Yeah. Third one would just continue with Maya. So that's what's happening. Also, I think we start in October. So then, also there'll be. Basically the same process.
Same procedure as last year.
Yeah, same procedure as last year. No, there'll be one difference. I'm going to make it one small little adjustment in with the essays.
It's a detail.
A detail. No, not more essays. That means, of course, there's essays with the thing, but not that there's additional essay. But you'll hand the essays into me. Then I'll actually know if you're doing them. That'll be the difference. Because otherwise, there may be quite a difference between.
Why to study Jiva Dharma?
Jiva Dharma is it basically summarizes all the Gaudiya philosophy, but he does it all the teachings the Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. So means in our philosophical courses, there's two aspects. There is the main books that we're studying. So then Prabhupada gave that the original point of being studied is the is the Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Ishupanishad, Upadeshamrita. So that's the main. Those are your core study. Then with Bhagavatam, then you have the first six cantos, then the second six, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the core study, philosophical study. So then, what has been done is then the works of the acharyas are being used as supplementary studies to support this primary study. Right? So, generally speaking, is that you have the two classes. So one will be the primary study, so one will be the supplementary study. Mm-hmm. But because then there needs to be a certain amount of understanding to appreciate the supplementary study. Right? Therefore, then the supplementary study in this first course is only in the third year. So instead of it running parallel like it will from the fourth to the 12th, it's running separately. Right? So the first 2 years then is just these but being studied as in chronology and in how you say and in theme, right? So 1 year for the systematic and 1 year for the thematic, right? So then the third year is the supplementary studies. So everything that we would put as supplementary, because these are foundational literatures. Prabhupada said that these two works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Chaitanya Shikshamrita and the Jiva Dharma, everything that he explains in all his books are in these two books. So therefore we're only studying these two, we're not studying others. Right? Some details may be taken from others, but it's not the study. Right? So yeah. Does that make sense? And then, so we understand the principles of how these other systems of philosophy work, so we can appreciate how Bhagavatam as Vedanta is positioned. Otherwise, we sometimes take our own philosophy sentimentally or that. Mm-hmm. You know? But we should know exactly what's happening. What is our philosophy? Mm-hmm. You know, or let's say in this case, we know what is, but we don't always know what's not. Right? So that's because the six systems are Vedic. They are based on the Veda. They quote Veda. Mm-hmm. Right? And so they appear very similar. Just like a weed appears very similar to the creeper. Right? So we have to be able to distinguish. So that's the idea. Then with the Bhagavatam, then going through the Bhagavatam, that's your systematic study. Mm-hmm. And these other ones, then they are supplementary, but they are also the thematic. Because in these others, then the thematic is then done, right? So with the Gita, then we've had a thematic study and a supplementary. But for the other three courses, then the two are the same, right? Because they've been written that way. So for Bhagavatam, there's so many thematic studies that have been done by the Acharyas. So those are all the supplementary studies. Right? So does that make sense? So like that, then that's how the courses run. So it'd be the same. Is the third, because also the Bhakti Nuchana was designed as a supplementary study also, but because of in actual practical application, its volume is so great, therefore it's running separately. Right? Means if we thought it could be finished in 3 years, then it would be part of the Shastra Chakshus, but it appears that it's going to take a bit more. So it's running as its own study. But it would have been one of three periods. It's just that it won't end necessarily after 3 years. Mm-hmm. Right, so instead of doing it as one course, means it's one set of study, but each section is independent. So one gets credit for each section. And then when one has all of the sections, then one gets the Bhakti Nuchana degree. Otherwise, before it was one study and one degree. But this is that it's 14 different studies, and therefore. Does that make sense?
The course from last year, Vedanta Psychology, is not in this course?
It's part of the Bhakti Nuchana.
Okay.
Like that. But we didn't run the whole thing, so we'll make it into a course. That was just we were reading the book and discussing. So we only did the first two chapters. So third and fourth we didn't deal with. So, but it'll come up as one of the courses. So so many things.
Yes.
Whatever you can imagine, it's in the Bhakti Anuccha. Because it's all the general knowledge and history that there is. So we'll also include history, modern history, but seen from the Vedic perspective. Like that. So there'll be a Vedic study, then there'll be the modern equivalent. Because you know, once you've done the Vedic, then you'll be able to have a perspective on the modern. So when we finish Manu, and these aspects, you know, Manu, Artha, Niti, then there'll be what's the Western equivalent, which won't be as voluminous, a little smaller. But lots of interesting histories about how people have tried to apply it.
Dharma, Artha, Niti, and then Western.
Yeah, anything. I mean, when you do Ayurveda, then there'll be the development of the Western method, you know, right. World medicine, you know, things like that. So then you'll see what's there and what happens, the way it works. So you see the Chinese stayed closer to the Ayurveda, you know, like that. Basically, it's the principles are the same. Yeah. But then the other schools, and they kind of like left that, you know. So it'd be interesting to note that, you know, I'm not sure when it was. Might have been the 1700s that they actually figured out that cleanliness had something to do with disease.
You know? That was a good day.
Yeah, that was a good day. So that was, you know, so that means it was basically, yeah. Yeah. 1700 years of actual gap of knowledge between your ancient methods of medicine and then your, you know, when the Western actually came into something that didn't kill people. Yeah, yes, and so these kind of things is very interesting, because otherwise we've been presented secular history. You know, so it's designed that even though it may be based on religion, it shouldn't come out that way in the book. You know, the children shouldn't have to suffer going through that traumatic experience of understanding that everything goes back to religion. Right? You know, they should think that it's separated from that, so you have faith in technology. Faith in work. In other words, you create your destiny is what you make of it.
Like that. Sounds good.
Yeah, basically it works. Yeah? No? Maybe?
Definitely.
Okay.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Sarvabhuta Bhaktivrinda ki
Jai
Jai Nityananda Gaura
Hari Hari.